At Christian Living in the Ten Commandments, and it seems like we've been on commandment number 9 for a long time because we had Vacation Bible School, and I think we had a missionary or something, so it's been a long time, but let's go ahead and wrap it up tonight, Lord willing. Exodus chapter 20, take a look. So we've been going through the Ten Commandments and how God's law is not just a law, it is a moral law which lasts throughout all ages, and that means it affects us and is applicable to us today. The one particular command that we would look at and say, no, God certainly does not expect us to practically recognize that would be what? Remember the Sabbath. Yeah, the Sabbath is Saturday, and Saturday has been, and it still is. If you go over to Israel, Saturday, nobody's on the street. I mean, that is a day of rest. That's a national day. You go there on Sunday, man, it's as if, you know, they never heard of Sunday worship, because it's amazing how the difference is. That's a command that we would say, well, you know, the Sabbath is not something that Jesus, not only did he not state we should follow, but he said, you know, this is the first day of the week. The church has followed that. But there's more to the command than just the Sabbath. The Bible says that you may keep the Sabbath and do what? Keep it holy. And that is applicable to us today. So here's what we've looked at. The right priority in the first commandment, thou shalt have no other gods before me. The right worship, thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image. The right language, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Number 3, the right remembrance of the holy, remember the Sabbath to keep it holy. Then the right family relations, honor thy father and thy mother. The right respect for others, thou shalt not kill. The right morals, that's number 7, thou shalt not commit adultery. The right respect for private property, thou shalt not steal. And we've been focusing on the right respect for the truth here in verse number 16. And let's read that together, shall we? Exodus 20, verse 16, let's begin. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. False witness meaning intentional claims that something untrue is true, to be a false witness. And of course, deception, lies, etc., all can follow under that category. And we looked in Matthew 15, Jesus said, it's a product of the heart that is far from God. A product of the heart that's far from God. If I'm not telling truth, I'm more willing to deceive, then I need to check my heart. Check my heart, which no one can see, but they can see the results of. We looked at when God's child lives in deceit, some examples of that. Abraham and Isaac, David and Solomon's, etc., they were willing to make these commit these sins that included deceit. Of course, David, he killed in order to have what he wanted lustfully. And examples of it in the New Testament are those that are without God follow a list in Proverbs 16. But we need to make the decision to be like Jesus Christ in 1 Peter chapter 2, talking about how he did not deceive or be a false witness, etc., revile, etc. 3 categories in a connection to false witness. Categories are on false witnessing: fabrication, verbalizing alternative to the truth; slandering, that's twisting or distorting existing truth about someone; flattery, embellishing or overstating truth about a person, especially to them; deceit, the connection is the deceiver, Satan, who always includes lies. He refuses to listen to God. We see that in John chapter 8, he attacks God's word and he accuses believers. How often? Daily. So he was up there talking about you. Maybe not you personally, but somebody was attacking and accusing us of not being worthy of being his children. By the way, would he be right about that? Yeah, he'd be right, but he would use lies to try and convince God of that, which he's not going to be. Biblical reasons why honesty is the best policy. Number 1, we saw last week, truth paves the way for victory in the Christian life. We see that that truth is the beacon for righteousness. It shines the righteousness out so that others can be drawn to it. And specifically, to be drawn to who? Not to us, to the Lord Jesus. Yeah, we share truth so that not people draw to them to us, although that's helpful if we're drawing them to Christ, but that they get drawn to the Lord Jesus. That's the idea. Truth drives away my wicked speech. Proverbs 8 talked about that. Truth delivers me from injustice. Let's look at this one and then we'll move on. Proverbs chapter 14. Let's go there. Proverbs chapter 14. And verse number 25. The Bible says, "The crown of the wise is their riches." Whoa, that's not correct, is it? 24, yeah. Well, I was wondering why. I didn't see truth there. Verse 25. "A true witness delivereth souls, but a deceitful witness speaketh lies." Truth delivers the soul, both in an eternal sense, if you believe in Christ's truth, but a practical sense when truth is shared in times of attack or injustice, that God can deliver. Let's go ahead and pray, and we'll ask God to help us as we finish off biblical reasons why honesty is the best policy. Lord, we thank you that we can meet in your name, in your house tonight. Pray, Father, as we go through these couple of thoughts, Lord, that you would get the glory. Help us, Lord, to see not just the importance of truth, but, Lord, how easily it is to fall from it. That's why we need to be consistent and continually standing on it, Lord. Thank you for what you're going to do. Thank you, Lord, for the truth we have in our hands tonight. May you be honored through it. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Truth commits to God's way of doing things. Letter B, truth commits to God's way of doing things. That's the blank. Let me have some help if I can on some of these passages. John 14, verses 15 through 17. Who would take those three verses? Bob's got that. Thank you, sir. Then we have Ephesians 6, verses 13 and 14. Who would take Ephesians 6, verse 13 and 14? Mr. Foreman's going to do that. Thank you, sir. Then we have Philippians 4 and verse 8. Who would take Philippians 4, 8? How about Mr. Steele? Thank you, sir. Then Psalms 66, verse 18. Then we have Proverbs 16, verse 6. Who would take Proverbs 16, 6? Doug's got that. Thank you. Then Ephesians 1, verse 17 and 18. Who would read Ephesians 1, verse 17 and 18? All right, Andrea's going to read that. And then we have 3 John, verse 3 and 4. Faith's going to read that for us. The rest of us can turn to Colossians chapter 1. As we hear these verses shared, we're going to read there together in Colossians chapter 1 when we come to that one. The Bible tells us truth commits to God's way of doing things. John 14, verses 15 through 17 talks about that for us. Okay, thank you very much. The Spirit of Truth, who is that? The Holy Spirit. Here's the truth. Believers in Christ are home to the Spirit of Truth, or the Holy Spirit. How many have driven by these old buildings and monuments and so forth, and they have on these particular buildings or property established in blah, 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 1902 or 1847 or whatever, things like that. To help people realize this monument has been here a long time. This matters over the years. Well, guess what? Whatever day you got saved, you became the home of the Holy Spirit.
Right.
That day, that day, that moment, the Holy Spirit came to dwell within you. You cannot get rid of them. How many would like to get rid of them sometime? Wait a minute, don't tell me that stuff. No, God says, I'm not leaving you. And in fact, I'm going to give you truth as you listen to my Holy Spirit, and He's within you. Jesus, that's a gift from Christ, by the way. The Bible says He sent the Spirit of God to live within us, the Spirit of truth. Ephesians 6, verse 13 and 14 also talks about doing things God's way.
Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness.
Okay, thank you very much. So the list goes on about the various forms of armor, spiritual armor, but what's the very first one mentioned? That your loins be girt about with truth. And I looked up loins. What is the significance of loins in the Bible? Well, it means a few different things. It is the place where strength is considered. You know, your strength is here, like when you're preparing to battle. You got to lift up your loins and so forth. That kind of thing is mentioned in Scripture. It's also a place of peace. When it is secure, you're more at peace when the loins are under strength and protection. So the idea here is, letter number two, truth prepares and strengthens us for spiritual battle. Truth prepares and strengthens us for spiritual battle. And again, interestingly, it's the very first one on the list. Don't you find that? I think God puts things in order for a certain reason, don't you? You know, there's no mistakes in God's word. And the truth, the Bible says, is vital to the battle and victory. Number three, let's go to Colossians chapter 1. Let's go there. Verse number 3 and verse 3 to verse number 6. I'll read that for us. In Colossians chapter 1, we give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which ye have to all the saints, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, which is come unto you as it is in all the world, and bringeth forth fruit, as it doth also in you, since the day ye heard of it, and knew the grace of God in truth. Gospel truth, the truth of the gospel, is the seed that yields faith in Christ. Gospel truth. You got to share the gospel and the truth of it, if anybody's going to get saved. And the truth is found right here in God's word. Amen. You share the gospel truth. And God, remember what Paul said to the Corinthians. He said, I've planted. And then he said what? Another guy watered, Apollos watered. But then what happens? God gives the increase. He continues to work on that seed. The Bible tells us we need to consider how important just sharing the truth is. And yes, we can share our testimony. I think that's a great way to witness to somebody, but we need to share the truth alongside of it. See, look at me. That's not good enough. They might look at you and say, yeah, I don't want what you got. You look like a bum or whatever. I don't know. But when we share the truth, they can't argue with that. Amen. Jesus Christ. Gospel truth is the seed that yields faith in Christ. It commits to God's way of doing things. And then final thought, as we consider the right respect for the truth, is this: four things the truth does for the Christian. We'll start out in Philippians 4 and verse number 8.
Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue,
okay, thank you very much. Here the Bible is giving us a list of things to have on our thought life. That if we can't figure out what we want to think besides some of the bad things, then here's the things Paul says to think of. And what's number one on the list? Whatsoever things are true. Wow. Again, it's the top of the list. It provides, here's number one's statement here, truth provides safety and peace for our thought life. Safety and peace for our thought life. And then we want to hear from Psalm. Psalm 66, verse 18.
If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me.
Okay, thank you. Have you found this to be true? Certainly God God's not going to answer someone before they tell him, I'm sorry I violated your law. I'm sorry I sinned against you. The Bible tells us that what goes on in the heart matters to the Lord. It's a hardness. It's a desire against what God would have. But listen to Proverbs 16 and verse 6.
By mercy and truth, iniquity is purged, and by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil.
Okay, thank you. So alongside mercy, truth purges hardness of the heart. Alongside mercy. Things are true, praise God, we've got the Bible, but remember God is merciful too.
Yes.
Merciful. I think I shared a couple weeks ago when I was a teenager, you know, Mom, she's getting serious about her Christian walk, and we go out to eat, and we're going to pray, and Mark, you're going to pray for the food. Well, here we are in a restaurant, probably two people were there, but man, it felt like they all were looking at me. And how many know what I'm talking about? Okay, all right, we're going to do this quick, Mom. And whispered out a prayer, and away we go, you know. But it took time for me to realize that the most important person I needed to thank in the room was God. Most important person to thank in the room was God. But he was merciful to me, even though I was ashamed of that. Praise God, we have a merciful God, amen. He's truth. He's going to be honest. He's going to tell you exactly the way it is if you're willing to listen. But he's also merciful. And when we come to him and ask him for grace and forgiveness, alongside mercy purges hardness in my heart, the truth. Number three, John 16. If you want to go there with me, I'm going to read that for us. John 16, verse 12 to verse 15. Here's what it says. Again, Jesus is speaking here. John 16, verse 12, I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. Howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. He will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore said I that he shall take of mine and shall show it unto you. Number three here, truth illuminates God's truth and application. You can add if you want in our life. It illuminates God's truth and application in our life. Praise God, we have a Bible. Did you know there's a lot of unsaved professors who have this very book? MSU, U of M. University of Michigan, I don't know if they still do, but they used to have one of the most interesting collections of scripture. I don't know if you had a chance to see that when you were there, Hudson, but they had a location, one of their buildings. I was there for a meeting of some sort, and I don't know how they got it, but they have these amazing, very, very valuable pieces of scripture that they hold in these buildings in this particular area. But they don't believe it. They certainly don't teach it, and they don't practice it. You know, to have the truth, praise God.
Yeah.
But just to have it is not enough. You need to apply it. Put it into practice in your life and let it do its work on you. Illumination is that process of God showing me specifically, okay, here's John 16. Jesus talked thousands of years ago to these guys. What does that mean to me? Well, listen to Ephesians, and here's how God uses his word to illuminate or cast light on the things that apply to me personally and how I can put them into practice. Ephesians 1, verse 17 and 18.
That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding be enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints.
Okay, thank you very much. Talking about how God wants us to understand His truth revealed to us, enlightening us, etc. But nothing He tells us is going to disagree with this. Satan will try to tell us something that disagrees with that. Our own heart will try to tell us things that disagree with it, but God never will. That's how we know what we're doing or thinking or whatever is true, because we find it in here. That agrees with this book. If it doesn't, then it ain't from the Lord. It ain't from God. And there are many spirits around, the Bible tells us, working at that today. But God's truth, it illuminates truth and application for us. Then another thing, the final thought we're going to look at, the truth does for the Christian. It delivers, I'll just give you the answer, it delivers great joy by living it. It delivers great joy by living it. Faith has that passage, 3 John chapter 1. Okay, twice in two verses, what did John call hearing about somebody walking in truth? Great joy. I had great joy when I heard. I had no greater joy than when hearing about you walking in truth. It delivers. It delivers joy when we walk in truth. So let's be that way, amen? Let's encourage one another to do that. Because if we're not walking in truth, instead of delivering joy, what are we delivering? What's the opposite of joy? Sorrow, grief. We don't want to be the source of anything like that. Let's go ahead and pray. Praise God. We'll be on number 10.